Hi everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Full Stack Radio with Coding Harry. That's me. I have today the second part of the security basics. So the episode 7 this time, with the second part, as I said, is going to be getting you a little bit dived into the new realm of the more advanced concepts of web security, but still remaining in a more basic and beginner style of the whole structure of the podcast. So we're going to be talking about several things today. We're going to be talking about CSRF protection and CSRF attacks, also SQL injections and how impossible these SQL injections can become if they get into a more advanced mode. And also some security headers, as we talked about in the previous time, but this time it should be more like professional and specified into this specific part, the second part of the more advanced security basics. At the end, we're going to be talking about two main things, which should be WAFs, or just web application firewalls, and how you can enhance your application to have these kinds of firewalls. And also some common attacks that can occur during this process. And of course, we have the emerging threats and maybe also some future trends we have for firewalls and attacks that may come from the cyber threats that we may be using or may be confronted when we build our websites or our web application. So again, my name is Harry and welcome to the 7th episode of the Full Stack Radio. So, the first thing that we're going to be discussing today is CSRF attacks. So CSRF, or just like in general, cross-site request forgeries, CSRF, are basically attacks, or like the main process of tricking a user to do specific things they didn't intend to. So specifically, when talking about CSRF attacks, these attacks, this kind of attacks, so manipulate user trust specifically. What they want to accomplish is to prevent the user from doing the things that they wanted to do, but they didn't. So basically what they're trying to do is to prevent you from doing your actual and usual business on the site or in the web application. Specifically, most of the times, it is easier to provide an anti-CSRF token or many tokens to validate the user each time they try to visit crucial parts of the page that they're looking for or the site of the web application that you have on at that time. So, like a main explanation about this would be like CSRF tricks users into unknowingly performing actions they didn't intend to do. So to prevent this, we have different kinds of solutions about it, but the main and the most important one and the most used one, the most common one, is to add tokens, as I said before. So if, let's say, you have an application built with Node.js and you'd like to prevent bots or CSRF attacks based on these exact paradigms that we said previously, you can use the CSRF protection validations requests and everything that is into the box of the Node.js backend development. So what this does is actually generating a specific token built for this exact session for that current user that you have, in order for this user to be validated as an original legit user. So these can prevent actions, as I said before, like CSRF attacks, and provide bots from accessing your page and having access automatically or manually after that from a hacker to your website and to your pages and through your database at the end of it all, like the first final solution. Second part of the most advanced, let's say, security basics and security cybersecurity attacks would be, of course, the SQL injections. SQL injections allow attackers to manipulate the databases. So basically, let's say that we have a contact form where we put our first name, last name, email, reason of contact, and then just like a text area of the message that you want to send to the site or the owner of the web page or the web application itself. So a hacker would seriously go into the contact us form that you created in order to talk to anyone that you like to talk, and then they are going to be accessing your database based on the fields that you provide in your contact form. So let's say you go inside the contact page and put query on SQL that deletes the whole database. Let's say delete asterisk from database. Just like that, you can delete everything you have on your database. Thankfully, there have been so many iterations of this attack that everyone has found out about a solution that is the SQL injections that have SQL code inputs that prevent this exact thing on the fields. Personally, I remember that I used to do that when I was learning PHP. So PHP has a lot of functionalities about SQL injections and that you can integrate inside your fields, input fields, or entirely on a page just by the click of a button or even the validation of a code inside PHP 5, let's say. So while I was doing that, I was learning how to integrate these scripts that they have, which are too many, to be honest, but there are generic ones that you can use, basic, and even more advanced ones during the process. So I can also provide you a link down below to check these PHP documentation, like scripts that you can use on your website and your contact forms so that your inputs can be safe, let's say, to work with. But I think you may get now the idea of how SQL injections work and how easily they can be penetrated into your website and, of course, your database after all. Let's say someone would like to delete, as we said, the whole database, but they can only have access to not only SQL database, but specific parts of their queries inside your database. So as we talked about CSRF tokens and CSRF protections and attacks and how you can protect yourself from the CSRF attacks themselves, and also the SQL injection techniques and how hackers can be penetrating easily into your website or web application, we're going to be talking about the security headers this time, but now in a more detailed way in order for you to understand how advanced these topics may go. So security headers provide instructions for browsers on how to handle content, helping to prevent attacks like XSS that we discussed the previous time. So they are specifically like directions for your browser to be following, and it's not very specific on how these work, but it's very specific of how the attacks may occur. So specifically, let's define how the security headers like work, like CSP, as we talked about the previous time, and we can explain how the HTTP headers enhance the security, but also have their own security holes and dangers inside them. So as we discussed about the previous time, we discussed about the HTTP and the HTTPS, which is the secured part of the hypertext protocol. So in this time, we're going to be talking about the HTTP, and one of my personal examples that I had to use live while I was developing a web application back in the days of my university. So specifically, I was creating a login form, and in the browser, I didn't have anything like browser headers, security headers to be working with. So basically what I did was exposing my own credentials to the browser itself. So I was logging in with my username and then the password, and I was automatically seeing in the response everything about the credentials I was putting in. So that's what HTTP can become if you don't integrate the new security headers inside your application or the web browser that you're building your website with. So specifically, I was able to even track what I was doing and what packets were being received and sent every time while I was browsing my web application. So specifically, I was Wiresharking everything and capturing every packet in that network. So I had one laptop on and the other one was just capturing everything while the HTTP connection was on. So while I was navigating the website, I used to put my credentials in like a username, email, password, and these credentials were automatically deployed on my database and saved there. So after I stopped this process, I checked my other laptop and I was seeing every credential that I put in on my laptop and on my Wireshark process. So specifically when I was querying into the Wireshark input field, like HTTP, I was able to see all the HTTP requests that were done by my browser into the database or in the network that were capturing itself. So let's say that you're doing this process and you're building your website or some pages like Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube even, don't have the HTTPS protocol secured inside their browser and as a security header on our topic now that we're speaking. So in that case, if you log in, let's say you're at Starbucks and you're logging in with your credentials on a public network as it is in Starbucks, and I happen to be recording these conversations that we have for your browser and to the database itself, I can see everything that you captured inside and have your credentials as they are without any encryption, just like plain text available for me as a hacker. So this is why the security headers are being shown and the HTTPS protocol is getting used now instead of the HTTP. Because in the HTTP, there are still some holes that are not covered after the successful development of the HTTP. So after talking about that and a personal problem that I had about this and on Starbucks, thankfully, I was the only one to be seeing these packets and the deliverance between the packages and the HTTP. Now you should be able to know how important the HTTPS protocol is and how important the security headers and the XSS attacks are. So after that, we're just going to be transferring ourselves back to the WAF realm, which stands for the Web Application Firewalls. Web applications, or WAFs, act as a basic barrier, let's say, between your website and the potential threats that you're going to be analyzing incoming traffic and even blocking malicious requests before they reach your web server. So they're like the security guards for your website. So examples of how WAFs mitigate web attacks could be that they're going to be incoming traffics, as we said, and basically this functionality helps us to prevent all of these attacks directly in our web server. So any attack that might be incoming might be, in the most of the cases, blocked by the web application firewalls. But these, of course, are more generic way to describe a WAF. And of course, there are hackers and processes that can be included in this part of the process where WAFs may not be responding directly and not be blocking the incoming calls and attacks to your web application. So lastly, what I'm going to be speaking about is yet another issue and yet another attack, let's say, of not only the web security realm that we're discussing today, but also IoT vulnerabilities. So in this time, and as we more and more of us have smart devices on our homes, and not only in our homes, but we have smart cars now, this actually takes it a little bit deeper and further. So the cyber threats can be expanded now into a more threatening level for our own sakes. So IoT devices, like Internet of Things devices, like smart fridges, let's say, smart TVs, smart watches, after all, can be hacked and can be compromising each and every move of you, each and every action that you do on these devices. So AI can help both the hackers and also you, but the most important thing that it can be also helping you and not the hackers. So hackers can be automating these tasks for AI to be accessing through your database and through your AI IoT devices, and can be having access to anything that you want and anything that you have yourself access on. So how important it is to explore how the AI role in the cyber attacks has, and how important it is for us to be exploring these functionalities and these circumstances, and before we even try to buy and sustain those kinds of products and devices. Because not only for our everyday lives, let's say smart TVs, smartphones, smart watches, smart fridges, as I said before, but these can be considered as potential attacks and potential life-threatening situations. When we, let's say, have something explode, it's not a very happy thing to have in mind. But we need to research and have in mind these circumstances that might happen in the future, and we have to be defending ourselves for that. And these previous reasons, as we said before, were the main resolutions and the solutions to our issues. So that's what I have for you for today's episode. We are actually summarizing now the second part of the web security basics. We talked about the cross-site request forgery and the CSRF tokens and the protection you can have for your browser and your users to be validated successfully and not letting inside bots that may harm your website or web application. We talk about SQL injection and how you can protect your input fields from SQL commands and SQL queries running directly from a contact us form, let's say, from your website. We talked about the security headers and how important it is for you to be not sharing your credentials to any other attack or potential attacker when you are in a public network, as I did before in Starbucks and in a more public network. And we also talked about the two other main things were the WAFs with the firewalls that can prevent incoming calls and attacks from directly on your web server. And we talked about lately the IoT devices and how you can be protected from different attacks that can harm your smart devices and IoT devices in general. So that's what I got for you for today's episode. If you like this episode, please put a like and put a subscribe or a follow, depending on where you're listening our podcast to. And I'm going to be very happy to be seeing you in the next episode of the Full Stack Radio. So that's what I got for you for today's episode. Thank you very much. This was Full Stack Radio, and I was Harry. See ya.